News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate you being here. Our next guest is Mike Durant. He is running for United States Senate. He joins us to talk about some stuff going on in the campaign. I want to talk, we'll get into the Alabama political reporter stuff here. Bill Britt's a scumbag. I need to say that every time we talk about anything that comes out of his website or the terrible people that work for him. My other employer hates it when I refer to people as terrible people, but I don't care. So let's talk to Mike Durant about something else first. You got this ad out. And I like this ad. This is an ad. I like it as art. Strategy, I have a little bit of an angle that I want to talk to you about. As art, it's pretty good. You're talking about the Afghanistan debacle. Joe Biden, essentially, over the last couple of days has talked about it a couple times, almost saying as if I have no regrets. And in your ad, you talk about how basically we have 13 more Gold Star families because of how Joe Biden handled this. And you have military experience, obviously, Black Hawk Down, and you know, you've been through a lot. Talk to me about why you decided to go with this angle against Joe Biden here in this race.
Well, it's partly because it is one of the catalysts that got me into the race. People have been talking to me about potentially running for 25 years. I mean, everything post-Somalia, there were oftentimes people would say, hey, you should run for office. And I had always said that I don't even like the politics of business. I can guarantee I'm not going to like the politics of politics. But then I see these incompetent career politicians in these positions of authority, and I got to do something. And, you know, part of why Afghanistan resonates so much with me is it's very similar to what happened in Somalia. In Somalia, we, after, you know, in my case, it was 19 of my comrades, after this horrific battle, all of a sudden Bill Clinton decides, no, you know, I mean, we don't have the guts for this. We're done, and turned over all the terrorists we captured and withdrew all the forces and basically threw it all away. So I know how it feels. I mean, it's a slap in the face to us as veterans, to those who fought in those battles, to the families, and to our military in general, because it hurts our credibility. And going forward as a nation without a credible military, we're going to face more challenges like we're facing right now in the Ukraine. We're going to face more challenges with China because they're not going to respect, certainly not going to respect our leadership. And in some ways, it really takes away from the credibility of our military in general. And that's why it upsets me so much.
You talked about the Ukraine, and yesterday, Joe Biden, I don't know if this was a gaffe or he said something he wasn't supposed to say or if he planned this, but he basically said, you can go in just a little bit into the Ukraine. But if you get in there and you start being crazy, well, then maybe we'll do something about this. And I think the weakness in Afghanistan has made it pretty clear that you can push Joe Biden around on the international stage. Say what you will about Donald Trump's strategy. His strategy, as I understood it, was to go to NATO and say, hey, spend more money, make NATO stronger. And he looked at Putin and everyone else and said, basically, if you do anything, I'm going to respond. Biden is like, says openly, we're not going to respond. And we're treating it as if he was just like, oops, that's a mistake. No, a mistake is misstating words, not saying, a little war would be fine.
Well, now we know why they turned his mic off. I mean, you know, it's just incredible what he said, not in just that part of that speech, but you know, it blows my mind. And he absolutely gave him the green light.
Yeah. So you, I mean, your military experience, your background, your defense contracting stuff, all that. Is Russia going into Ukraine?
Well, you know, obviously Russia feels that bringing Ukraine into NATO is a further infringement upon, you know, their security. You know, how hard are they going to push to make sure that doesn't happen? I can't say. No one can say. It's trying to, you know, look into the mind of Vladimir Putin, which is, you know, not something I could sign up to. But, you know, that they're going to play hardball because that's how he plays. And like you just said, when Donald Trump's the president, he's getting hardball back. But in this case, he's not. And that's the concern, is that we don't have people in office who understand how to deal with these issues. You got career politicians that, you know, the message changes from day to day depending on, you know, what they think is going to fly with their voter base. And that's just not how you can handle foreign policy.
We got 4 years of Trump was a Russian asset, 5 years. Now we're at 6 years probably. If Trump's a Russian asset, Trump's a Russian asset. If you took these two people's records on Russia and took away their names and just said, this is guy A and this is guy B, Biden clearly is the guy that Russia is like, yes, more of this, please. Give me more of this. And it's just, on the international stage, just so incredibly.
Yeah, he's playing right into their hand, no question.
When you're out and about campaigning and you've been out there beating your feet and you've made progress in this campaign, no question about it, you've seen your campaign grow, what are people talking about? Is it Joe Biden? Is it your opponent? Is it Richard Shelby? What are they talking to you about? What's the number one issue?
So at the state level, you know, obviously I'm a veteran. So I've heard from a lot of veterans their dissatisfaction with the VA. And we got to get to the bottom of that. I mean, you know, we've been talking about this for years.
Yeah, no one's ever been happy with the VA.
Why? What is the problem with the VA? Well, I can tell you what the problem is. It's bureaucratic. It has too many layers. It's governed at the national level. And somehow we got to crack the code on that and fix it. I mean, we owe it to our veterans. Plus, you know, this is a volunteer force we have in our military. So if those young people feel like, hey, you know, they're making me all these promises, but they're not going to keep them later on, they're going to be less inclined to join the military. So, you know, it hurts us two ways.
I'll tell you something about the VA. My dad was a Vietnam veteran. He had a Purple Heart. He was hurt, had hearing loss, PTSD, all that stuff before, I guess it was PTSD. And the only time I ever got him to go to the VA was near the end of his life. And because the experience he had at the VA right after the Vietnam War was so bad, like born on the 4th of July, bad. Like that depiction, he said, was pretty accurate. By the time I got out of the military and we took him to the VA, it was after 9/11. We dumped a bunch of money in, but we still have the bureaucratic mess that's still there. It's still, he was a service-connected veteran with a disability, all these things. They took great care of him. You know, when I got into the Army, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, I'm just using this as an example. When I got out, I was 21. I was relatively healthy. You know, I was a student, all these things. Anytime I went to the VA, I was like 9,000, blah, 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 just because I had none of the things, which is fine. But I think you're right. The bureaucratic mess is the big problem here. It's not a lack of money. That's for sure.
For sure. And, you know, I haven't personally had issues with the VA, but I haven't had to utilize it much. But, you know, obviously I'm hearing it from everywhere I go. Veterans are not happy, and we got to fix that. The other thing is illegal immigration in terms of, you know, hot topics. You know, people are concerned that the border's wide open. You got criminals coming across. You got drugs coming across. And, you know, they're very concerned about that. And on the flip side, you know, we got to figure out how do we deal with the illegal immigrants, because we got a labor shortage and a lot of these people are filling roles that, you know, unfortunately Americans don't want to fill. And you could point to, well, they're being paid to stay home. That's partially true. You know, COVID, that's partially true. But the bottom line is we got to fix our labor issues. So I think those really, you know, the economy is sort of wrapped up in all of that, but inflation, I mean, that affects everyone.
Do you support allowing illegals to stay in the country? To work those roles?
First thing we have to do is fix illegal immigration. We got to build the wall. We got to stop more people from coming in. That's the first priority. Once we get that done, we can figure out, okay, what do we do with the people who are here?
Is there a deportation side to that, in your opinion?
Well, in some cases, absolutely, there's a deportation side.
When we come back, I want to talk with you, and I'm going to take an early break here so we have enough time to do it. There is a piece out in the Alabama Political Reporter talking about a part of your life, which I'm sure you probably don't want to talk about, but you're going to need to. It's involving your sister and your father. I would not have touched this story, I'm just going to be honest with you, had it not included, like, straight-up news reporting from that time period. We're going to talk about that here in a bit. With Mike Durant. Keep it locked right here on the Dale Jackson Show. This segment of the program brought to you by my friends over there at Maccabee Medical. Now listen up, folks. Maccabee Medical, these are the folks you need to talk to if you have those in your life that need ongoing medical care, but you don't want to send them to a hospital. You don't want to send them to a nursing home. You want to be able to take care of them at your house. Maccabee Medical allows that to happen. They can help you with all the medical equipment you might need. Hospital bed, oxygen equipment, lift chairs, mobility equipment, and all of that, and so much more. My friends at Maccabee Medical, they can help you. They got a 24-hour line. All you got to do is go to their website, maccabeemedical.com. 6th Avenue in Decatur, Governor's Drive in Huntsville, and they can help you with all these needs. You want someone to stay at your house as opposed to going to the hospital or a nursing home. You want to be able to take care of them. Their best life makes your life better. MaccabeeMedical.com. They can help you out today. When you go see him at Maccabee Medical, make sure you tell him Dale Jackson sent you.
Dale Jackson.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Good morning. thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate you being here. We got Mike Durant here with us. He is running for United States Senate. I'm going to read the headline from the Alabama Political Reporter. God, I hate these people so much. But again, this story is... it's a tough one. Here's their headline. Senate candidate Mike Durant's once-backed father against sister's abuse allegations. They reference a story from Clarkville, Tennessee. Durant, sister trying to grab headlines with sexual abuse suit. Mike, the story is basically this. In the mid-90s, your sister sued your father for sexual abuse. And you said that you didn't believe this happened. She produced letters where you acknowledged that it did happen and you didn't understand it, and your father had admitted this to you openly without you even asking, and you didn't understand why he would do such things. And now you are estranged from your sister, Mary Durant, who said she was assaulted until the age of 19, from a toddler to when she was 19. And I don't even understand how this story became a thing. Like, in the 90s, I don't remember this story at all, so excuse me for that. But they're bringing this up. It's a character piece. I mean, that's really what it is. Another one of the headlines: letter show Durant believes sister's abuse claims, but you went on television and said that you didn't believe those claims. What happened here?
Well, I mean, those facts are all distorted. You know, it's the bottom line is this. These things happened almost 50 years ago. I was a child, and I was not involved. So I don't understand, you know, what the relevance is. You know, there was a lot of back and forth, but I can tell you that everything I did was above board. It was the right thing to do, and it has nothing to do with the campaign. And that's, you know, again, I think what should be very troubling, and this is why President Trump called the media the fake media or the fake news, because in our response to this yesterday, we included a quote from Mary's attorney at the time who said Mike Durant had nothing to do with this and, in fact, didn't know anything about this until a couple of years ago. And the reporter decided not to include that. This is a quote from Mary's attorney. So it is obviously a hack job attacking me by people who are working for my opponents to try to discredit me when it has nothing to do with me as a person, or was I involved?
I don't think I did not read this as part of the story or the original reporting that it was some sort of implication that you were involved. I think the hook here appears that you said one thing publicly on television while saying something separately to your sister that was different, and she was upset about this, so she released these letters at the time. So you had told your sister, I know this happened. I'm sorry it happened. It's terrible that this happened. Which I think everyone agrees with. But on television, you attempted to save face for the family, I guess. I mean, that's how I would see it, but you can tell me if I'm wrong here. You said something separate, and your sister called you out for that, and now you're still estranged from her to this day because of that. Is that accurate?
No, and it's not me that's estranged. It's the entire family because of the things that she did. I mean, again, is it really relevant?
I mean, it's a character piece. I mean, it really is. I think it's a character piece. If you went on television and said, my dad didn't do this, but
that's
your sister,
not what I said.
Okay, well, then tell me what happened here. Because the story right reads as if you went on television and said this didn't happen after you had already talked and sent letters to your sister saying, I know this happened, but you went on television and said something differently. And that's okay. So tell me what's wrong there.
All right, I'll try to give you the highlights. I would argue this isn't relevant, but, you know, obviously if you're saying it's an attack on my character, I guess I'll defend it. No one believed her when she first made these allegations. No one. And I finally confronted my father in the early 90s and said, look, I need to know, is this true or not? And he confided to me that it was true. And then I informed the entire family. I said, she's not lying. It's true. He agreed to reparations. He went to therapy. He did all the things. They had some sort of private agreement that I never saw. And then when I was in captivity in Somalia, her husband wrote a letter to my unit. I'm in captivity, saying that they were going to make this all public, even though he had complied with the terms of the agreement. That is what I had issue with. Plus, what agenda do you have if your brother, who basically defended you and brought this to light, is now shot down in a POW, and your first motivation is, I'm going to make this public? That was the issue. And if you go back and really read all the facts, that's how this played out.
Did you go on television after that and say it never happened?
No. I said what she was doing was wrong because he had made reparations.
The lawsuit part was
correct.
Wrong. Okay.
Yeah. That was what I – that's why – and the entire family sided with him because, you know
– I mean, it reads – I mean, if you're saying this isn't true, reads as if you went on television and said this never happened.
Well, I mean, no, that is absolutely not what I said. That –
he said he isn't the monster he's made out to be. He was a good father.
Well, to me, I mean,
I understand.
Yeah, they're asking about me. I didn't know any of it was going on. So to me, he was a great dad. I mean, we had a great relationship our whole lives outside of about a, you know, 3-year period where I'm in shock about the fact that this actually went on in my house and I didn't know it.
You said it couldn't be true and you told your sister it had to be some kind of false memories that she needed to work
on. We were all saying that.
So you're saying that was before
Correct.
You knew what had gone on here?
Correct. Before I confronted him and got him to confess.
So what problems do you have with this story? Like, is the timeline wrong? Give me the gist of what the issue you have with this, besides that you don't think it's relevant. What's the other issue?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you read it as written, it makes me sound like I contradicted myself, which I did not.
So you're saying the timeline's wrong?
Right.
Okay. All right. You mentioned that this, anyone can read it for themselves, Alabama Political Reporter. I suggest you take with a grain of salt. Read the original reporting, which they've made available, which I think is very important to the story. You said this is coming from your political opponents. Who and why? Now, who do you think? Like, give me some names of who you think's doing this.
Well, you know, this is speculation. There's really three of us in this race, so it's either Katie Britt or Mo Brooks.
Who do you think?
Who do I think? I don't know. I don't know this game well enough. I mean, this is career politicians playing this game. And you know, this is not who I am. I'm not a career politician.
I'm going to tell you this. I know Alabama politics. Mo does not have access to the Alabama Political Reporter.
Then you know better than I do. Because this is not the game I play. I'm a straight shooter. I come from the real world. And that's what I'm bringing to this race.
I want to get to this because C.J. Pearson has another story out about you, which I think is insane about this other group. That says you're some sort of Trojan horse, you know, whatever. Pearson is connected to the Britt campaign. Alabama Political Reporter has been pretty cozy with the Britt campaign. Why don't you want to say it's the Britt campaign?
Because I don't know. I mean, I don't know this game. I don't know who the people are. I don't know where the money's coming from. That's not how I roll. I'm in it to win this, to win the confidence of the people of the state of Alabama. I'm making tremendous progress. It's working. You know, I think a legitimate conservative candidate that's an outsider, non-career politician, is what people are looking for, and that's what I represent.
We scheduled this interview, just to make this clear, after this story came out, so you knew this was going to come up, so I give you credit for coming and facing it face-to-face. I appreciate that. Mike Durant, candidate for United States Senate, will definitely talk to you soon about other things as well. Thank you for being here.
This is the Dale Jackson Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.